Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Adams County's public health leaders are getting iced out by the ICE detention facility in Aurora. The county says there is an active tuberculosis case inside, and they want to investigate whether it's spreading. The county health director, whose expertise is infectious diseases, can't get past the front door. She spoke today with our Marshall Zellinger.
Outside, the Aurora ICE Processing Center is as close as our cameras can get to the inside, which is no closer than Adams County's health director can get to investigate an active tuberculosis case.
We just don't know what has happened at all from a clinical standpoint.
Kelly Weidenbach is the director of the Adams County Health Department, which has issued a public health order for a tuberculosis case involving a detainee from early June. Geo Group, which runs the facility under a contract with ICE, has not allowed public health experts in to do what Weidenbach would normally want done to investigate TB.
We often need to understand where the case patient may have been in within the facility, who they might have had contact with, and then even get the list of names of people that they would have been in close proximity to, and we would want to assess every single one of those people.
Unrelated to the TB case, the Geo Group sued Colorado and Weidenbach over a state law that just took effect last month. The law requires more access and information about what goes on inside. Geo Group said it's unconstitutional because the company answers to Congress and ICE, and not the state of Colorado. Regarding TB specifically, Colorado law allows for health departments to inspect and have access to all medical records of all medical practitioners, hospitals, institutions, and clinics, both public and private, where persons with known or suspected tuberculosis are treated.
In this particular situation, we have not had access to all of the records or personnel or other individuals who we have requested access to.
Geo Group is also fighting state and local oversight in Washington State and New Jersey, where the company is part of federal lawsuits trying to prevent those states from similar access to ICE facilities. In a letter to Geo Group last night, Colorado's public health department requested immediate access, but then gave Geo Group until Friday to provide access and records to help determine how many people may have been exposed.
At this time, we do not have enough information or knowledge of additional cases.
While local public health staff are kept out, members of Congress or their staffers are allowed in for oversight. I can confirm two staffers for Congressman Jason Crow were allowed in earlier this month. They did not know about the TB case. And when it comes to exposure concern, Kyle, Adams County Health need to figure out where the ill person was, who they were around, which detainees might be at risk, which staff members might be at risk, which contractors like a plumber or an AC worker. It goes beyond the people who are simply being detained by ICE.
Right. And the situation could be totally under control, right? Like, this could be totally handled. It's just we don't know because they can't check it out.
I asked Weidenbach about the initial report of TB, and she thinks that basically on the front end, everything seemed to be okay, but everything since then, they have no proof of anything at that point, and that's why they need to go in and make sure medicine's being taken, people were interviewed, everything's on the up and up. The county just can't say yes.
All right, we'll be watching it all week. Marshall Zellinger, thank you. All of Colorado's Democrats in the U.S. House voted in favor of ending U.S. aid to Israel today. It was a symbolic but landmark vote showing the shifting views within the Democratic Party and its voters. The measure sought to cut $3.3 billion in military and humanitarian aid to Israel from a foreign affairs bill. It failed 104 to 304. All but one Republican, Thomas Massie, who was a sponsor, voted in favor of continuing aid to Israel. The Dems from Colorado put out a joint statement. Representatives Jason Crow, Diana DeGette, Jonah Goose, and Brittany Pedersen said that they support Israel's right to exist and to defend itself, but they said that the U.S. should not be giving military aid to a country that does not comply with U.S. laws and values. DeGette, we should mention, just lost her seat in Congress to a Democratic primary challenger who criticized DeGette for her longtime support of Israel. Republican gubernatorial candidate Victor Marks suggested today that he's getting the endorsement of former Governor Bill Owens, the only Republican governor Colorado's elected in the last 55 years. That could go a long way to help unify the divided Colorado Republican Party. Except it doesn't appear to be true.
You talk about Bill Owens, the state in its heyday. It's interesting. He was a Republican governor who used common sense. I got a call yesterday that he's endorsing me.
Former Governor Bill Owens told me today he has not made a decision on whether he will endorse Victor Marks for governor. Owens actually endorsed Marks's Republican primary opponent, Barb Kirkmeyer, who called Marks a fraud, says he doesn't tell the truth. She said she won't support him in the general. Owens told me he wants to wait and see how Marks campaigns, how he handles himself before he makes a decision. This actually is not the first time that Victor Marks has faced questions about whether he tells the truth about Bill Owens' endorsement. Longtime Denver Post publisher Dean Singleton, power player in state politics, has said publicly that Marks falsely claimed to him in private during the primary that he had Owens' backing. Marks' campaign told me today that Marks did not lie. If you listen to the literal meaning of his words, so let's play it back.
You talk about Bill Owens. I got a call yesterday that he's endorsing me.
The Marks campaign says that's true, that Victor Marks got a phone call yesterday from someone saying that former Governor Owens intends to endorse him. The campaign acknowledged that former Governor Owens is not currently endorsing Victor Marks. Children's Hospital Colorado faces a contempt hearing as its doctors refuse to resume gender-affirming care for minors. The hospital stopped prescribing hormone therapy and puberty blockers to patients under 19 in January. That was because of threats from the Trump administration to cut Medicare and Medicaid payments. Last month, the state Supreme Court ordered the hospital to resume the care after families of transgender patients sued, saying that Children's was discriminating based on gender identity. Providers said they weren't going to restart this care because they feared losing their license or facing criminal charges. Children says they're complying with the order by bringing back the services doctors could offer, but they can't force anybody to provide the care. Lawyers for Children's will be back in court Monday, where a judge will schedule a hearing on those contempt allegations. The Aspen Acres fire down in Pueblo County has burned almost 155 square miles and destroyed more than 330 homes. Then you have the impact to ranchers. One rancher in Beulah told us the fire torched the grassland his cattle need to survive the summer. He says he was able to evacuate all of his animals during the fire, but with nothing for them to eat, he's going to be forced to sell some of them to buy feed for the rest.
And I've spent the last 15 years creating the genetics to get this herd where it's at. I don't know if I can find the words for it. A strange landscape now. I mean, you're not used to it.
That rancher says he has enough hay right now to last about another month before he'll start selling off parts of the herd. 4 years ago today, our community lost a leader when Ma Kang, a pillar of the refugee community in Denver and Aurora, was killed by a stray bullet. Let's remember her legacy and her impact, helping other people achieve the American dream. This week's Word of Thanks Microgiving campaign will fund the Ma Kang Scholarship Fund. We've done this a few years now in Ma Kang's memory and in support of the refugee community in our state. These scholarships go to refugees who are pursuing post-secondary education in fields like teaching, nursing, social work, computer science, and business. This is a project of the Refugee Action Coalition of Colorado through the nonprofit Spring Institute. I've had the opportunity to meet a number of these scholarship recipients over the years, and they are exceptionally impressive. They want to turn their talents into careers that will benefit our community, our country, their new home. Ma Kang's daughter was actually one of the recipients. She's studying to be a lawyer. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 and we'll send you that link to donate. Even $5 helps because a bunch of you will do it together. And you know the deal. I'm never going to ask you to give if I don't, so I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us going. More than 8,000 of you have used that same link or text to sign up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. Put in your info one time each month, your donations automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. And that'll add about $40,000 a week to all five campaigns this month. A key feature of Denver's new and improved 16th Street may be short-lived because RTD is more unstable than my weight in college.
You know, you just smile thinking about it because it's just been such wonderful memories and wonderful experiences.
And she is now number one on the seniority list, which is dominated by men. That's next. It's going to be a hot night for thousands of people in Larimer County when Xcel Energy cuts the power to work on transmission lines. This outage will start at 8 p.m. and will last until 6 tomorrow morning.
talking about 2,000 customers on the west side of I-25 near Boyd Lake. These are folks who are south of US 36 and north of East County Road 16. All of them should have gotten a phone call from Xcel yesterday warning about the outage. Xcel says the work is necessary to keep the system safe and reliable. Power companies are not actually allowed to cut off power if it's hotter than 95 degrees. It will be in the mid-80s when the power gets shut off tonight. It'll be around 70 degrees at midnight.
I always think about all the stuff that's in those refrigerators and freezers. Oh, what do you do at the last minute with all of that? 94 degrees in Denver today, another hot, dry summer day, a little bit of haze out there, and winds out of the south and southeast, keeping the cooling clouds and thundershowers from moving across the Front Range like they typically do every day this time of year. 94 in Denver, 100 in Grand Junction, 97 in Fort Collins. Humidity's up a little bit, but so is the wind. The wind's increasing out of the south and southeast, and the wind with some of these gusty thunderstorms keeping fire managers on their toes. The winds out of the southeast keeping smoke out of the Denver area for now, but still under an air quality alert until 4 o'clock tomorrow for ground level ozone. The wildfire smoke an issue for parts of southern Colorado. Air quality issues really are going to be ongoing heading into the upcoming weekend. So if you're in a sensitive group, the air right now is just unhealthy for you to be outdoors for extended periods of time. Some good news. There's a little rain on the radar. We're tracking storms moving from north to south. Too much of a good thing in areas like Mesa County with a flash flood warning out. They're seeing mud and debris and mudslide potential on some of the burn scar areas there. Not going to see much in the way of cloud cover or moisture heading into Denver for the foreseeable future. We've got a very warm night coming up again tonight, but changes on the horizon. Sunday into Monday, after temperatures close to 100 as we close out the weekend, cooler weather and a chance for rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week.
The free ride in downtown Denver could be coming to a complete stop. 9 months after 16th Street celebrated its full reopening, RTD is considering ending the free bus service because RTD is looking at a $200 million budget deficit. This is the bus that used to be called the Mall Ride until they told us to stop calling it the 16th Street Mall because branding. Unlike many of RTD's offerings, this one is super popular, more than 2.3 million boardings. RTD is also considering discontinuing several FlexRide bus routes and the B&R light rail lines. Now, these are all just proposals. RTD's board will discuss this week. If cuts are approved, they'll happen sometime next year. Meanwhile, in Douglas County, people are getting more free rides. Commissioners just approved $2 million to expand the county's rideshare service into Castle Rock later this summer. It's a free app-based service where riders can request share rides within certain areas. Delco launched it in Lone Tree, expanded into Highlands Ranch last year, Parker earlier this year. The county says since the launch, the service has provided more than 125,000 trips. The cash comes from CDOT, the town of Castle Rock, and Delco. After more than four decades in the sky, a pilot originally from Colorado adds a special title as she nears retirement. We'll meet her next. A lot of dudes in cockpits across America, but a woman from Colorado is breaking barriers at United Airlines. As she prepares to retire, our Evan Krugel shares the story behind her history-making career.
Every day, hundreds of pilots fly in and out of Denver, and most of them are men.
I'm setting up for the ILS 28 left.
But a few miles away, inside this United flight simulator,
got over 30,000 hours in an airplane, though.
Captain Creston Wilson is doing what she's done for four decades.
I mean, I love flying. I've always loved flying.
Getting ready for another smooth landing.
50, 40.
In simulated 30, San Francisco.
20. That's how it's done. Then we taxi to the gate.
She's been in this simulator hundreds of times, but this trip holds extra meaning.
Yeah, this is my last time. It's a little bit emotional.
After 41 years, she's preparing to call it a career, but not before leaving her name in United's history books.
I'm number one on the seniority list now, yeah. And will be until March when I'm required to retire at age 65. It's the first time a woman has been number one.
Wilson started flying for United at just 22 years old. After growing up in Arvada, and then graduating from MSU Denver.
United has a long storied history, especially here in Denver, and we're hitting our 100-year anniversary this year, and I've been here almost half of that time, so that's kind of eye-opening.
Her career has taken her around the world, and then some.
Somebody asked me how many miles. I said about 12 million, I think.
Less than 10% of commercial airline pilots are women, making Captain Wilson's journey to the top all the more remarkable.
How realistic the simulator experiences are.
She now calls California home, but still loves flying and even training over Colorado.
You can see the mountains over here.
Views she hopes other women get a chance to see.
Well, I hope that I'm an inspiration to young girls who want to fly. If it's your dream, do some research, figure out how to make it happen.
And while this may be her last time in the simulator, her impact in the skies will long outlast her final flight.
It's just been such wonderful memories and wonderful experiences. It's been pretty special.
Now, commercial pilots have to retire when they turn 65. For Captain Wilson, that'll happen next March. She plans to hike, ski, and yes, travel to even more countries across the globe. Kyle.
Hopefully not a backseat pilot when she does. And while you were out, you and photojournalist Mike Grady got your chance at the simulator yourself.
Yeah, that thing is wildly realistic. Unfortunately, it does not come with a barf bag. That would have been nice when Mike took the controls. Watch this.
A little bit too much.
Yeah.
A little too much. Push the nose down a little bit. Now pull back.
That's more my life.
Yeah, I've had some rough landings at TIA. That took the cake. That was a really rough landing. And we actually were going off the runway before Captain Wilson saved us. So thankfully, she was there with us to guide us. And we've got much more of that posted on the next YouTube page if you want to watch and make fun of us.
I don't know. I thought flight simulators, like, if you did something wrong, they just kind of, like, beeped at you or, like, told you, like, that's wrong. No, like, you, like, smacked.
No, this is the real deal. A big flight simulator up on, like, hydraulic lifts. It's the real deal. So you feel it when he yokes back and when he crashes us into the runway.
Yeah, no, he put it down hard. All right, Evan Krugel, thank you. Back with your feedback next. Refugees come to America at our country's invitation because America has always been a beacon for people fleeing prosecution. And Colorado has long been a welcoming place for those refugees. Let's continue that legacy tonight. This week's Word of Thanks microgiving campaign supports the Ma Kang Scholarship Fund. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to join me in donating. Ma Kang was a longtime community leader and refugee advocate in Denver and Aurora who was killed 4 years ago today by a stray bullet. For years now, this scholarship has helped refugees pursue degrees in nursing, computer science, education, and other careers so that they can succeed and contribute in their new home. Speaking of giving and contributing, this feedback from Glenn tonight about the farmer, or the rancher rather, in Beulah, talking about the need for hay to feed his cattle following the fire down there. Glenn says, we need to help the farmer get some hay. Let us know how we can help get this done. He says, my wife and I are weekly contributors to Word of Thanks. Thank you very much. So here's the deal, Glenn. 2 weeks back, pardon me, 2 weeks? 1 week back, our Word of Thanks campaign benefited the Southern Colorado Wildfire Relief Fund that is set up to help folks, including that rancher, with immediate needs like the one that he has now. You can find that link on the 9 News website or on my social media.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Krugel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.